You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to This Day Rocks from Vintage Rock Pod, the ultimate classic rock podcast. With a big name interview show every Monday and one of these short episodes every day, Tuesday through Sunday. I'm Paul Stevenson, thanks as always for hitting play. Now we're kicking off a new month. The year is flying by. It's November the 1st, and we're going to look at some of the events that happened on this day in the history of rock. And we'll start in 1979, when on this day, Bob Dylan debuts the songs from his new Christian album, Slow Train Coming, whilst playing the first night of his new tour. It doesn't quite go to plan, though, as boos rang out during the new material throughout his set. In 1969, on this day, Elvis Presley's Suspicious Minds hits the top spot on the Billboard chart. It was his first number one since 1962's Good Luck Charm, and would ultimately be his last number one single too. On this day in 2005, Black Sabbath were inducted into the very short-lived UK Music Hall of Fame. Queen's Brian May was the man to induct them. Anyway, the group played Paranoid at the show, and Ozzy famously mooned the crowd, saying that he'd seen more life at a fucking wake. Excuse the language, which is actually a nice segue to today's event, which took place on this day in 1985. Yes, on this day in 1985, the Recording Industry Association of America agreed to some demands made by the Parents Music Resource Center, and as a result deemed that any album that contained offensive lyrics must have a warning label on the sleeve. These stickers are now very famous, of course. The Parental Advisory Explicit Lyrics, the black and white ones, you know the deal. Now, this followed a hearing where leading figures of the Parents group, including Tipper Gore, squared off against musical heavyweights like Frank Zappa, Dee Snider, and John Denver. Now, with me to talk more about this subject is good friend of the show, always great to have him on, Mac B from the Ugly American Werewolf in London podcast.
Well, thanks, Paul. And yes, as an American, I distinctly remember growing up in 1985. I was an adolescent, 12-year-old, I guess, hearing about things in the news that actually related to me and that they were going to label music. There were a group of Senator and Capitol Hill and Washington wives who gathered together to try to put ratings and if not bans on music based on their lyrical content. Basically kicked off by Tipper Gore, who was the second lady, Vice President Al Gore under Bill Clinton from 1993 to 2001, was darn near president after that. But she came home and started dancing with her kids to a Prince record. And then Darling Nikki came on. She's like, this is filthy. We have to do something about this. And that's where the PMRC, the Parents Music Resource Center, was born, with mothers and wives on Washington, D.C., on both sides of the aisle saying, hey, we've got to do something to help our kids. And they kind of built it as, well, look, there's ratings on movies, R-rated movies that you can take kids to. There's PG movies that are fine. We got the PG-13 designation around this time in America. And they came up with a filthy 15 songs to just kind of demonstrate the kind of sex, the violence, the nasty stuff that is going on in this music. And they want to do something about it. They want to rate it, put a sticker on there that says warning, explicit material. And the 15 they came up with, some of them you would expect, yeah, they have some nasty, dirty stuff. And then some you'd be like, what? Sheena Easton? What are you talking about? I loved her on her 4-show arc on Miami Vice. But no, I mean, Prince, yeah, I mean, he's It's Prince. He's the man. Yes, he's a little dirty. You know, Judas Priest. Okay, Motley Crue, AC/DC, Twisted Sister, Wasp. If you call your song Animal Fuck Like a Beast, you're not going to get it on the radio. And it's not going to be for everybody, right? But again, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Black Sabbath, Madonna, AC/DC, Judas Priest. But they actually held a hearing in Congress and called a few witnesses from the music industry, namely Frank Zappa, all-time prog god and ultimate weirdo, Bob Denver, Mr. All-American Country Boy, and Dee Snider of Twisted Sister. And they thought they would just put off Zappa, the weirdo, Denver would be on their side, and they could crucify Dee Snider. They didn't realize that he was smart, erudite, well-spoken, and prepared for this. Came in looking like a weirdo, but sounding like the most reasonable man in the room. And it's easy to see on the broadcast. If you ever get to see that footage, I actually got to meet Dee Snider in a past life. And I went up to him and I told him, hey, man, I love it the way you stuck it to the PMRC in front of Congress. He said, thanks, Mac. Hey, let's pose and then I'll tell you a story. So we posed, gave our devil horns, got the picture, got it autographed. And then he said, hey, listen, and this is about 2010. Me and my wife been together for 30 straight years. Alan Tipper Gore, yeah, not so much, because they just filed for divorce. And he goes, my kids, never done drugs, never got busted for drugs. The Gore kids, eh, not so much. It was one of Al's daughters had been caught with some pot. I guess Dee still took it personally. But the bottom line is, they did get stickers put on the records. And it said, warning, parental advisory, bad language, or could be sex, could be violence. But I got to think it had the opposite effect of what they thought. I mean, it did get them banned from Walmart stores, and some places wouldn't carry them. It had that parental warning on it. But for the most part, if you say, hey, you shouldn't listen to this, what are teenagers going to do? They're going to go for it. Dickie Six himself said, what do they want to do? Well, they put a sticker on there that says bad language. He says, yeah, put it on the top of the album. So when the kids are flipping through, they see it. Yeah, put it on all of our records, please. Because he knew what effect it would have, which has helped them sell more records. And for those who want a deeper dive, go find the film Warning, Parental Advisory. It was a movie produced and debuted on VH1, if I'm not mistaken, that told the story of this and had Muriel Hemingway playing Tipper Gore, which is like having George Clooney play me, the wolf. But anyway, Dee Snider actually played himself when he testified in front of Congress. And they had actors for John Denver because, of course, he was not with us at that time. But Griffin Dunne played Frank Zappa. Griffin Dunne, of course, famous from An American Werewolf in London. But they did have an effect on the music industry. And I think the effect was selling more records. C'est la vie.
And a big thanks to Mac B from the Ugly American Werewolf in London podcast. Check out that show with Mac and Action Jackson. They've just released their 100th episode. It's a series full of great classic rock chat, album deep dives, concert reviews, some top-notch interviews too. Go and find them on all good podcast apps. But that's it for November the 1st then. I'll be back tomorrow talking about a late 60s album from a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame group. But until then, take care.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.